The urgency of climate change is forcing Democrats in Washington to make some tough choices. They're on the verge of dropping a key part of a climate change plan that President Biden hopes to present in just days to world leaders at a major UN climate change summit. They're struggling between the demands of progressives who want aggressive climate change policy and moderates such as West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who comes from a coal-producing state. And it could be the Democrats' only chance to act in what scientists say is a critical decade. Senator Tina Smith joins us now. She's a Democrat from Minnesota. Senator, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be with you.
Yes, thank you for being here. Senator, you drafted the provision that apparently is being left out of spending negotiations right now. It's called the Clean Energy Performance Program. It would allow utilities to transition to clean energy and find those who don't. If it's not in the spending deal, can the U.S. meet its promises to reduce greenhouse gas emissions?
Well, as you said at the beginning, we are at a crucial moment, and nobody could see that more clearly than my constituents back in Minnesota who saw fires that kept the boundary waters closed and a massive drought. So this is a here and now crisis, not a future crisis. The Clean Electricity Payment Plan was and is a strong strategy for reducing emissions in the power sector, 80% in the next 10 years, and doing it in a way that keeps utility rates low for businesses and for families, which is so important as we think about how we want to move forward. But it's not the only way. And so as we go through these next really important days of negotiations, I think it's important that we keep our focus on what can we do to reduce emissions. The Clean Electricity Plan is a powerful way of doing that, but it's not the only way. And that's the work that we're doing right now, because if we don't do the Clean Electricity Plan, then we have to fill that hole. We have to find other ways of getting the carbon emissions reductions that we need to hit the president's goals.
Well, you will be presenting alternatives to progressives in a meeting this afternoon. We understand that some kind of carbon capture program is on the table. Will that be enough for progressives? There is this argument that this technology to reduce greenhouse gases is not yet proven to work.
You're absolutely right that there is a lot of innovation and research and development that we have to do so that carbon capture and sequestration, which is a strategy for capturing the carbon that comes off of power plants or industrial facilities, capturing that carbon and then storing it, and ideally at some point figuring out how to use that carbon in another way. But that's the whole point of what we need to do here. We need to put, I think, the United States on the forefront of the research and innovation that is going to be necessary if we're going to really lead this clean energy transition. My view of it is that given the crisis that we have, the deep need to dramatically reduce our carbon emissions, nothing should be off the table, and that we need to be looking at all options and then putting our full shoulder into the innovation and the research and development that we need. Now, none of these things are going to be able to accomplish our goals all at once. There's some excellent ideas around clean energy tax credits. Those will be powerful, but they won't be enough. Supporting carbon capture is going to be powerful, but it's not going to be enough. I think we need to look at expanding transmission, which is a great way of getting the excess capacity for renewable energy that's hanging out there but can't get connected onto the electric grid because the grid isn't big enough and resilient enough to do that. That's another great strategy.
All options on the table, but how critical would you say it is for the president to have a national plan to take to COP26?
Well, it's urgently important, not only because of what it does to create jobs and spur innovation and address the climate crisis here at home, which is deeply important, but we also know that we don't function on an island, and the United States leadership, the president's leadership when he goes to COP26, is going to be urgently needed if we're going to see other big carbon emitters understand that they need to get on board.
Senator Tina Smith is a Democrat from Minnesota. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's bring in two reporters who are paying keen attention to these developments. Justin Warland is a senior correspondent at Time Magazine covering climate change. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, and Zach Coleman is climate and energy reporter for Politico. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you.
Well, you two both heard Senator Smith. Read the tea leaves for us. Are Democrats going to get that yes on strong climate change policy this month or not. Justin, what do you think?
Well, it definitely seems that there's something, a deal in the works. I think the chance that, I think it just depends on exactly what the details are. I do think it's clear. I think Senator Smith, is right when she says that there are a lot of other policies that can supplement and or rather replace the Clean Electricity Performance Program and could deal with some of those, the loss of that.
Zach, do you think that they have a strong national plan to bring to COP26, the Biden administration?
Well, it's not as strong as they would want it to be. I think that you look at some of the modeling that was done by even Senator Schumer's office, they laid out pretty clearly what was needed by Congress. And the Clean Energy Performance Plan accounted for a good portion of the emissions reductions that are needed to meet President Biden's goal of cutting emissions in half relative to 2005 levels by 2030. And that's the type of thing that other countries want to see at the COP. They want to see how does the U.S. make good on its promises, because they've been there before. They've seen that movie, and it didn't turn out great for the climate.
Right, right. Well, this week, a CNN reporter asked some of West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin's constituents about climate change as they rebuild from severe flooding. Let's listen.
I'm not buying into the whole climate change thing.
So if somebody said, in order to make sure a flood like this never hits your community again, we need to get rid of coal, what would you say?
Let it flood again.
Justin, it's amazing to hear that sound. Is the world hanging on what West Virginia wants here?
Well, it really is amazing to me. You know, I have a lot of conversations with people thinking about climate change around the world. And the attention with that West Virginia has received, I mean, it's in conversation with people really across the world. And so, yes, the world is hanging to some degree on what Joe Manchin does and what's happening on the ground in West Virginia, which is really a remarkable place to be.
Zach, Senator Manchin told reporters he supported industry innovation, not elimination, and he wants to incentivize emissions reductions. Can you translate that for us? What will Manchin support, you think, on climate change?
Yeah, what that means is he wants to not penalize certain sources of energy. I mean, West Virginia is a very coal-heavy state. It's a natural gas-heavy state as well. His criticism of the Clean Electricity Performance Plan was that it incentivizes electric utilities to transition to clean energy when the market is already heading that way. Now, the issue here is that while that is true, it's not heading in that direction fast enough. What the science says needs to happen to get us on a trajectory that would put the planet in a somewhat safe, livable space, temperature-wise, is we need to cut our emissions in half by 2030. And just the rate the market is going, we're not going to get there in that amount of time without additional policy.
Okay, there's this talk, also a plan C. If clean energy is out and progressives don't support carbon capture, that would involve grants for climate change research and development or executive actions by President Biden. What impacts do you think that might have, Zach?
Well, any sort of incentives in further research to support clean energy is helpful because you look at a lot of the modeling that's been done by any number of independent groups and think tanks, and it shows that we need a number of solutions, including carbon capture and sequestration, which has a bad rep among some environmental groups. Even nuclear has a role in a lot of these projections. Even research that would vacuum carbon dioxide emissions that are already in the atmosphere out of it to get these net negative emissions. That's how much of a you know, in between a rock and a hard place we are. We really need it all. So that type of spending is only going to help bring down cost curves and help deploy some of this technology across the country and the world.
Justin, President Biden has proposed this 80% zero carbon energy idea by the end of this decade and a zero emissions power grid 5 years later. Can the U.S. get there with the proposals that Democrats are discussing right now? What do the experts say?
Well, it is, you know, we'll have to see where things finally land. And it is obvious that without the Clean Electricity Performance Program, it's going to be a lot harder. Having said that, there was some interesting research out this week, a report from the Rhodium Group that looked at the possibility of this reconciliation legislation without the Clean Electricity Performance Program and showed the U.S. getting almost to the Biden 2030 goal. And so I think it's fair to say that there is still a lot that can be done and might be done in this legislation, but it is going to be a little bit of a uphill climb without this key program.
Zach, I'm thinking about what you had to say when I asked you about the strong national plan to bring to COP26. How important is it that the U.S. take the lead on climate change right now? And I have about 30 seconds with you.
Yeah, it's important in the sense that we are the world's largest economy, and we have contributed the most in a historical sense to climate change than any other country in the world. So to show good faith, to show other nations that there's a possible deal here and there's possible progress, you have to get the big players in line, and the U.S. has to do that in order to compel other countries to do the same.
Justin Worland is a senior correspondent at Time Magazine covering climate change, and Zach Coleman is a climate and energy reporter for Politico. Thank you both.